mom is. I doubt he's watching live. But I know we have some watching live today who couldn't be here. I just want to say hello to Danielle Leon. I know she's tuned in, but we have other people who tune in from all over. We did the same thing on Friday. We had our Christmas program for the kids at our school, and we had people all over the country, St. Louis and a few other places that people were tuning in, getting to watch. So I'm thankful for the technology that allows those who aren't able to be here to still connect, which is good. So thankful for Angela leading today and Chip and the team. I pray that you come back tomorrow night too. Chip will be leading our Christmas Eve service, and bring somebody with you. We have some invitation flyers in the back. I would encourage you to pick some of those up, because in my mind, whenever I see those left on the table, that's one more person that wasn't invited to our service. And we've given out about 300 already this week, but we've got about 300 left. If you would just take one stack of 10 and invite your neighbors, your coworkers, people at the store, and I know you're going to be going to the store. How many of you have not yet finished either your Christmas gift shopping or your food shopping, and you're still going to be out in public in the next 48 hours? All right, take some of those and just hand it to them. If you just need to go in the dead of night because you're a little nervous of people, just go in the dead of night and put it on people's doors secretly and run away. Yes, you'll be on their little camera, and they might put you on YouTube, but as long as you don't steal their packages, I think you're good, all right? So this is a great time of year. You know, one of my favorite parts of Christmas is the lights. Anybody agree? You know, we come in the sanctuary, Mike will notice, hey, the lights aren't on the tree. Is that on purpose? No, we just hadn't done it yet. So turning on the lights on our trees. You know, my family enjoys, we used to do it just on Christmas Eve, but it was hard to find all the places. So almost the entire month, if we're driving somewhere and we want to notice the lights, we'll say, hey, kids, look out the right side of the van. Look at the left side. We'll take different trips to different streets just to see the lights on the houses. And we know lights are a big deal. You know, that's why Stone Mountain will do a light show. You'll go to Lake Lanier. How many have been to Lake Lanier? And I've not been in years, but Lake Lanier has a beautiful light display. You know, and they boast like, you know, a million lights. You got to come see them. People pay good money to see the lights. Lights are important. How many of you have lights on your house? Yeah, some of you. I love doing lights on my house. I haven't figured out in our new house how to get it all up and how our configuration is, so I went real easy this year. I was at Sam's Club one day. They had this little LED light that displays all kinds of things, so all I did was just stick that in the yard. It sprays on the house, and I was done. I've got lights on the house. I didn't have to climb a ladder. I didn't have to nail anything. I don't have to take anything down. I think I might just do that every year now. I don't know. But it is great to see lights when you drive through a dark neighborhood and you see the beautiful colors of lights. It's an important thing. We'll probably do that on Christmas Eve as well when we leave here. Just go see some lights. You know, lights are an important part of Christmas and always have been, quite frankly. Maybe they didn't put lights up like we did on their first century homes. But you consider the different places in Scripture around Christmas where it talks about light. The angels were dazzling in light when they came to the shepherds and told them to go see a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped, you know, and lying in a manger. That was an important light. You know, when there was a great display of light in a star that the wise men saw and wanted to follow that star until they could find the promised Messiah. Wise men are smart to follow the light so they could follow the Savior. Not only at Christmas, but light is a major theme in the Bible. God says to us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You know the very first command in Scripture? Was God speaking, let there be light. That's how important light is, that God is light, and he doesn't want any, there's no darkness in him at all, but in a dark world, he wants there to be light because it gives both warmth and clarity and joy. When Jesus came to this earth, he certainly proclaimed himself as God. He called himself, I am the light of the world. Light is the reason for Christmas. The world had gotten very dark because of sin. Certainly from the point of Adam and Eve's fall all the way through, there were glimmers of light, but the world was still very dark, and there's only one light that could come and illuminate the lives of those who were lost in darkness. And Jesus said this in John chapter 12, verse 46. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Lights are significant. Lights remind us that Christ came into the world to be our light so that we would not have to remain in darkness. Now here, he's not talking about physical darkness, but the personal and spiritual darkness that we find ourselves in, not knowing how to get out. As I consider the light, I also want to consider the darkness. Everybody here probably has had some dark days. Some days where even with their eyes wide open, they cannot see where they're going, what's taking place. It's very cold and dark, scary. You're like, what do I do? Where do I go? How am I going to get past this? Some dark days include not wanting to get out of bed. You've been there? Days where you're afraid to face the world. Days you don't feel like it's even worth the effort. Days you just want to throw in the towel and say, I'm done. Those are some dark days. Days you don't want to see anybody, you don't want to talk to anybody, and you're not sure you even want to be anybody. We all go through dark days. Some of you have been through some dark days recently. Some of you are in some dark days right now, and some of you have gotten out of dark days, but you know in 2019 there's going to be some that are going to knock on your door. You can't keep dark days from coming. You know, it's interesting, during this season when we celebrate the light of Jesus coming into the world, it's in the same season that we experience the longest darkness in our calendar. The winter solstice, December 21st, comes every year, the longest night in the shortest daylight. Interesting that when we're in our darkest times, that's when Jesus wants to shine through the brightest. Today I want us to consider the various dark parts of our lives, the seasons that we go through that are very dark, and how Christmas can pierce the darkness with the greatest light. There are four basic types of darkness that we go through, and if you're taking notes, you can just jot these four words down. I'm going to talk about all four of these. Disappointment, distress, doubt, and depression. Because I want to talk about the light that comes out of the darkness, but we first have to have a foundation of understanding what is the darkness that sometimes we go through that we need some light. So let's consider the four types of darkness. The first one was disappointment. You'll see up on the screen, Job chapter 30, verse 26. And certainly, if there was anybody who experienced some dark days, it was Job, who lost it all. And he says here, but when I hoped for good, evil came. And when I waited for light, darkness came. You ever had some days like that? Your expectations weren't met. What you were planning for and really excited about, it just never formalized or never materialized. If you follow the news, there's a lot of disappointment. And it's not just your sports teams. The fact is, life is full of disappointments. Things don't always work out as planned. You might get a new 2019 day planner and make all the plans that you desire, but doesn't mean God is going to allow all of that good to take place. But he has promised that he will work good in all situations for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Sometimes we're like the little boy who was opening up his wrapped Christmas gift from his mom and dad. It was in a round shape and nicely decorated with the paper with a bow on the top, and he ran to it and says, I already know what this is, and starts to open up. It's a basketball. To his dismay, it was a globe of the world that his parents wanted him to have. Sometimes we think we know what we're about to open, but when we open it, it's a completely different gift, and we get disappointed. You think Mary had any disappointments during this Christmas? An angel comes to her and says that you're going to be carrying the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. Now, it doesn't say this in Scripture, so I can only speculate, but if I was Mary, I could only imagine that she's thinking, I'm going to have the Son of God, the Messiah, the Rescuer, the one who was coming to save his people from their sins. This is great. I can't wait to see what kind of hospital or hotel arrangement are going to be established for me. I can't wait for the parade that's going to happen as I'm in delivery, and probably it's going to be the greatest, most easiest delivery ever. That's not what she experienced, was it? She had no idea 9 months later after that pronouncement that she would end up, well, we don't know where she delivered. I told you that last week. But where she delivered and laid that baby in a manger, a feeding trough. She was not at the Hilton. She was not at the greatest hospital in the world. She was probably in a stable. And there was no fanfare. Her first guests were smelly shepherds. I doubt it met her expectations of what the Messiah, the Son of God's entrance into the world would be like. Life is disappointing sometimes. And we sometimes have long, dark days of disappointment. Something else that we encounter in our dark days is distress. Psalm 22, verse 1, you'll see it up on the screen. David's crying this out, but you'll see hear the echo of what Jesus said on the cross. David cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Some of my greatest appreciation of Scripture is found in Psalms because it does not hide the agony that believers can go through. It's gut-level honest. God has not abandoned him, but in this moment, David is crying out because I just don't sense your presence. I don't sense your rescue. All the promises I haven't seen fulfilled yet. I am under great distress. I think you ought to spend some time more in the Psalms. If you didn't do it this last year, perhaps this next year. Because the Psalms are not just happy, happy, happy. They're genuine, authentic, real, raw, but hope-giving as well. There is distress. I felt this way, perhaps you have too, times when you're overwhelmed, overloaded, and nobody seems to care or help. These are some dark days. Third day of darkness that you may have is doubt. Using John chapter 12, verse 36, listen to these words. So Jesus said, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. When you are in the dark, you begin to drift. You have no clear objective. You're not sure where to go, which direction. And there can be some doubts. I'm not sure what's around the corner because I don't even see the corner. Have you ever lost your way? You ever felt like your mind is in a fog and you can't think clearly? Every day is different and you're not sure what's going to take place next. You look into the future, but you can't even see it. You can't see 10 minutes from now, much less 10 days from now or 10 months from now. Sometimes we fear for the future of our country. What's going to take place? We have some doubts. What's going to take place in this administration or the next? Border security and the federal budget is all in the balance right now. What will happen in 2019? And some are doubting and worried and running in darkness. Someone said, even in a former administration, about 15 years ago, I heard someone say, imagine the president, the Senate, and the House are all on a plane flying over the ocean, and then suddenly it crashes. Who is God going to save? The country. Let that sit on you for a minute. Sometimes it's not those who run around in darkness with all the drama that they like to put on the national news. The answer is in Christ. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going, Jesus said. I've hit my head. I have stubbed my toe. I have run into things in the middle of the night when I'm trying to go from one part of the house to the other in the middle of the night. Have you been there? I just was trying to sneak downstairs to get some ice cream without my wife noticing, and then I fall down the stairs and I'm crying. Ah! She'll say, "You're all right." "Oh, it was just one of the kids, honey." So you've got to have light to know where you're going and to sweep away all the doubts. The fourth day of darkness, I just want to point out, is the day of depression. When you're depressed, you feel like, what's the use of even trying? You feel like giving up. When Britain entered World War I, it was a very depressive day for them. And it was the former Secretary Sir Edward Grey who said this, a famous quote, "The lamps are going out all over Europe. We shall not see them lit again in our lifetime." His perception was widespread. Everybody knew that it would never be the same again. Some of you may feel that way about your life now. Maybe the quote you would say about your life right now is, "The light has gone out, and it may never light again in my lifetime." This is a dark day for some. In Lamentations chapter 3, certainly not an encouraging book, but it gives us some helps. "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." In the Christian Standard Bible, it says it this way, "I continually remember them and have become depressed." The challenges, the tragedies in my life are pressing upon me, and it has taken my emotions down to the depths. When I say an encouraging word to you, or maybe it's not so encouraging, but at least it lets you know you're not alone. Even some of the strongest saints in Christian history have dealt with depression. Don't say, well, I may be depressed. Nobody ever gets depressed like me, but I'm depressed, and I must not be a strong enough Christian. I must not just be good enough in God's favor. You realize Martin Luther, who started the Protestant Reformation, battled with depression? Do you realize that Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers in 5 centuries probably, battled with depression because of some physical ailments he had in his wife, who was an invalid? He battled depression. Martin Lloyd Jones battled spiritual depression, like, severely. And he was a preacher in the 1900s in London, England. Even those who know the scriptures well, their feelings can take them down. Let me just say a word to you about feelings. Feelings should never be your guide. Feelings should be your responding from what you think and what you do. The only two things in Scripture that we're told to change is how we think, renew your mind, and then obey God's word, what you do. Because if you think the right thoughts, even if you don't feel like it, "I don't feel like going to church, I don't feel like God's near." But in your mind, if you focus on what God's truth is, you know that God is real, you know that God hasn't left you. When you have the right thoughts, it changes your feelings. But when you put your feelings in front, it'll change your thoughts. "I don't feel like God's near." Yeah, he's probably not. "I don't think I can move on." Yeah, you probably can. Let your feelings, which are a gift from God, be a responder to what you think. And let your thinking be what God says. And let your doing be in obedience to God's word. Some of the greatest theologians have battled with spiritual depression, and the only way they can move it through is to go back to God's word. Some of you faced some incredible challenges in 2018. There were some major divisions in marriages in this church alone, with some possible divorce from some. As I was just having a conversation with someone the other day who's in a severe spot right now in his marriage, and I'm praying. for him. Some of you have lost a loved one, older loved ones and younger loved ones, and it's been some dark days. Some of you have had some major defeats in your vocation, a diagnosis even of a major illness that you're having to live with now. It could begin to lead you, if you don't have your mind right and continue to do what you know is right, it will lead you into some dark, depressive days. It's because of some of this, some of you are not wanting to feel happy at all at the holidays. And when others are happy around you, it even makes it worse for you. You may even wonder, does God even care? Listen to me. If you don't get anything else today, I want you to hear this. God cares for you. God has not abandoned you. He knows intimately what you're going through. He has it all under control, not according to your plan, but according to his plan. You matter to him, and he hasn't given up on you. Every one of us are in one of these three situations. Either we're heading into dark days, we're experiencing dark days, or we've just come out of some dark days. But this is the reality of life. One problem after another. That's life. So where? Put this question on the board. So where is our hope in the midst of our darkness? That's why the lights are so important to remind us of this. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29, why don't you read this out loud with me, if you can see it. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. Boy, we need that. If you're not in darkness now, you might be in 2019 for something. So why don't you go ahead and jot that down or mark that somewhere where you can bring it back up, where that can be a prayer on a dismal Monday morning when you don't want to get out of bed and you go, I can't go anymore. Why don't you just cry out, for you are my lamp, O Lord. And my God, you lighten my darkness. He brings light into our dark days because of Christmas. You don't have to stay in the dark. Here's four responses to the four negative dark days that we experience. So I want to just take each one of those and show you what God does to battle and defeat those things that we struggle with. The first one is this. He gives encouragement when I'm disappointed. I've been disappointed many times. My expectations haven't been met. I haven't fulfilled all the desires that I've been wanting to. Sometimes I live in a Romans 7 type of world. Romans 7 is when Paul's crying out, I'm not doing what I ought to be doing, and I keep doing what I don't want to do. Man, oh, this wretched man that lives within me. I have disappointed myself far more than anybody else has ever disappointed me. But Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is near. I think that's the greatest promise he gives us. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Sometimes when you don't feel like this, at least believe that God is right when he says it. It doesn't matter if you feel it, you must know that it is true. The Lord is near. Some of you have had that rough time this year and you were saying, where is God in all of this? He was right there with you. During the Christmas season, we sing it more often. Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. The whole book of Matthew, if you notice at the beginning of Matthew where it talks about the Christmas story, you shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. And then at the close of Matthew chapter 28, before Jesus ascends, he says, lo, I am with you always. He says that and then departs. Because he sent a comforter with us, the Holy Spirit. Jesus has never abandoned us. He came as Emmanuel, God with us, and he is still with us today. You're disappointed? Why don't you just lean on the presence of the Lord in your life? He encourages me by reminding me that he's got a design. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for my life. And even in my darkest night, he will shine most brightly. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, a verse that many people have memorized, but I wonder in those dark days, is it what you're quoting? even in the darkest days. And you understand when Jeremiah was preaching, it wasn't good days for Israel, for Judah. For I know the plans I have for you. Yes, Assyria and Babylon's wanting to come conquer you, but even in the midst of all this disappointment and distress, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. I want you to hear me today. If you're in a dark day, his encouragement to you is this. You have a future and you have hope. You may not see it because you're blinded, you're in a dark spot, but let Jesus be the light in your life to hear the encouragement that there is a future and there is a hope. Lean on his sight if you can't see it. Verses, don't even look for it, just look to him. And he will illuminate your path. God's goal is not to hurt you, but to help you. He created you. He has a future for you. And you know, I've learned over the years that God most often uses disappointments to get my attention. When it didn't work out like I thought it should, God rewires it to work out in a different way that gives him the most glory. Sometimes these disappointments are like a red flashing light. It gets my attention. It says, this wasn't the way in the first place. It's okay, trust him. God is showing us that we may have some pains and we may have some problems, but he has a greater purpose than any problem I encounter. So he gives encouragement when I'm disappointed. Here's the second thing to defeat the dark day. It's the dark day of distress. He gives strength when I'm distressed. When I can't move forward, I'm not sure what to do. I'm overloaded. What am I going to do? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, let it be an encouragement to you. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Perhaps every morning this ought to be your prayer. You should ask the Lord for strength and say, I can do all things. Maybe more specifically, I can do that one thing you think you can't. I can face this diagnosis with the strength that he gives me. I can face the death of my loved one with the strength that he gives me. I can face the vocational troubles that I'm having. I can face the marital relationship problems that I'm having. I can face the financial burdens that I have right now. I can face this, but only in the strength that he provides. When we don't have strength, it's because we're leaning on our own abilities, our own insight, our own wisdom. Whatever you encounter, and you'll encounter many things, I doubt you will have less than 365 issues this year. So you'll have something to pray to God every day. I can do all things through him who gives me the strength. Over the years, I've observed hundreds of friends and acquaintances who have been able to overcome incredible difficulties and tragedies through the strength of God. Look at Psalm 23, verse 4 up on the screen. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, it doesn't say that even though I get to walk around it and totally miss it. No, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the darkness, I will fear no evil. See, there's no need to be distressed when you're walking even through the difficulties with the presence of the Lord in your life. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Too often we fall into the trap of saying life is good, but God is tough. When the reality is, life is tough, but God is always good. God is our strength when we're distressed. Did you know that there are 365 times in the Bible it says, fear not? One for every day of the year. There's no need to fear. There's no need to be anxious, because because God is with us. Here's the third response that God gives us to the dark days that we encounter. He gives guidance when I'm doubtful, when I'm confused, when I don't know which way to go. God will help me find the way. In John chapter 8, verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will what? Not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. People walk around in darkness and wonder why they keep bumping into things and doubting what's going to happen. Listen, Jesus has promised, if whoever will follow me will not walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. So what are we worried about today? What did you come in here that you put your smile on, but you're carrying the baggage of today? What keeps you up at night, anxious about and doubting? Some of you in 2019 are going to have to make some major decisions based on certain things that are taking place. On what basis are you going to make those major decisions? Is it going to just be knee-jerk reaction? Is it going to be procrastination and just prolonging the difficulties? And how you feel in the moment? As I mentioned, feelings are highly unreliable. They're gifts from God, but they're not the leader for us. Are you going to just do what everybody else does? You know, often the majority is wrong. Listen, when you face doubts, there's a reliable source that you know will always give the right wisdom and the right direction. In Psalm 119, 105, look at this up on the screen. The word, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Don't let this be just a children's memory verse. Let it be a life guide for you. When I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, you pray to God and you seek his truth in his word. Somebody called me the other day. I'd never met this individual. They had watched online, and he had a few words to say, but he said this to me, which was the highest compliment. You really believe the Bible, don't you? Something I had said in a sermon just convinced him. I mean, because I was like walking through it, you know, and just teaching. He says, man, you just believe the Bible. Well, what else am I going to believe? Books come and go, and I know because I buy a lot of them, but they come and go, and sometimes, oh, this is a great book for this year, but boy, 3 years later, that was really stupid. And people have been trying to get rid of the Bible for years, and it still stands. Countries try to eliminate it, but God's word still shines through. It can be always present. While we pass, the word of God will never pass. I like how it says it in the message. It's a paraphrase by Eugene Peterson. Eugene Peterson just recently passed away. But basically, for his congregation, he took the Bible that where some of them were struggling to understand, he took it and wrote it devotionally. So you can get it. And I want you to put the next screen up. Listen to how he says this particular verse. By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. Boy, he just brought it down to a first grader's level, didn't he? Just so you don't miss it. God's word helps us to see where we're going. How does a 2,000-year-old document show me how to live in 2018 and 19? It's because God is eternal. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Before the world began, he knew it all. Newspaper writers, they do the best they know with what today provides. Some of them, if they don't know, they just make it up. God doesn't make it up. He just provides the truth. The only reliable guide we have in this life is the scriptures from God. It illuminates our way and helps us see things clearly. Here's the fourth and final response God has for us regarding these dark days. He gives transformation when I'm depressed. When you're down in a low spot and you're almost paralyzed emotionally, that's when God wants to do his greatest work in you, not just to encourage you like family and friends do, which is a good thing, but he actually wants to transform your heart, your mind, your life, so that you became a flower blooming out of the dark winter season that you've gone through. When we're down and depressed, friends and family are helpful, but they cannot get to the core of who you are. They can't reach your soul, but God can. God will use the difficulties in our life to help us learn some new attitudes, some new thoughts, some new approaches, some new perceptions, some new choices. His goal is to transform us. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. So I want you to imagine, as Jesus comes and he comes to you, he's talking about the church here and the illumination of all, he's coming to you, and the darkness now will be exposed, visible. For anything that becomes visible is or becomes light. You'll see this. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you, but it could be translated through you. That's why when Jesus says that he is the light of the world, but then other places in Scripture, he says you are the light of the world. Why? Because anyone who Jesus has come to, he doesn't just come to shine on you, he comes to shine in you, through you, and from you. That's transformation. You know how incredibly healing light can be? You know, when babies are born and there's some deficiency in their skin,